Welcome to Garage à Toi. Thanks for listening.
I've missed you.
I miss you. Happy Merry Almost Christmas.
Oh my goodness. That
I have a question for you.
I feel like went by really fast.
Yes. Okay. This was my question. Is time accelerating?
Right.
Although I have to admit, and I don't know if I'm like smug about this or if I'm just turning into an idiot. Last week, I thought there were two more weeks left in the year, which, as you would imagine, meant I had two more weeks to do Christmas shopping. And not only was that not correct, when you are shopping all online, as I have decided to do this year, and, you know, it's like Etsy and stuff like that, and I'm not just buying stuff on Amazon.
Right.
Those motherfuckers are not trying to get it to you and on, like, any kind of a deadline. Like, I had shops that were like, you know, our shop is closed for the holidays, you know, we'll deliver this in January. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no.
Oh. So,
as they say, oh, the consequences of my own actions.
I know that a lot of people have been ordering online this year. So, yeah, the last few things I've ordered online, they're like, we didn't think it was going to take 2 weeks to get it to you, but, you know, usually it takes a couple days, and now it's taking the USPS and other shipping services. They're just overwhelmed with all the amount of online shopping people are doing, especially this year, I guess.
I was like, you did this to us around the election. Do not fuck with us on Christmas. Just pretend like they're valid in there.
Exactly.
Although you strike me as someone, and I need you to admit this, you strike me as someone who is a very early shopper because you are a very thoughtful gift giver. I've experienced this firsthand. So I feel like you probably had your shopping done weeks ago. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. I'm waiting for one more thing. Yeah, but yeah, everything's wrapped. It's all pushed into a closet, ready to go.
The presents stay hidden until Christmas morning. What's your protocol?
Some of them do. The ones from Santa stay hidden, and then some of them are out already under the tree. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you do like a little sprinkle, and then Santa comes, and
yes,
the rest. Yeah. And are you guys like big into stockings? What's your stocking situation?
We do stockings. I usually, I don't know why this is kind of a tradition, I would go Christmas Eve, like to, before CVS was CVS, it was Long's drugstore.
Yes.
I would go to like Long's on Christmas Eve and pick out just little things like nail polish or hair ties, just like, you know, body poofs, bath wash body poofs.
Love
things
it.
Like that. Yeah. So I'll probably still do that Christmas Eve night, late night.
Does it have to happen late night? Is that part of the celebration?
I think so. It's quieter. There's less people in there. And then, yeah, I'm excited. So I can't really sleep anyway. So I'm
Oh my God, that's so sweet. It's your sense of child wonder, Marie.
I think so. Yeah.
That's adorable. My dad does the same thing as far as like sort of a supermarket sweep for stocking stuff. And it's become kind of a joke because like some years, for some reason, we always put an orange in our stocking. I don't know why. That's like a family tradition. And then some years, it's like they do fine. And it's like gum and candy and like, you know, mechanical pencils. And then some years, there has been like some really sad, like really weird shit in there. Like I remember one year, it was like he had just gone around and like found stuff around the house because they had like forgotten. And so it was like... You know, they put like a can of corned beef hash in mine, and like I love hash. I'm not saying I don't love hash, but you know, it's hard to hang a stocking that is that heavy.
Cans.
Yeah, and then it's like if you got a really heavy stocking, which is like prestigious, you also have to be really careful that there's not chocolate in there because my sister's little dog, she's a mini poodle, and like 3 years in a row, he got into Christmas chocolate, and there was like a lot of like yelling and crying and like feeding him hydrogen peroxide so that you would throw up.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's what the poison control tells you to do, which is like very sad. So So now we have this like mantra of like, don't let the dog ruin Christmas. Don't be the reason why the dog ruins Christmas.
No chocolate.
No chocolate.
On Christmas.
So maybe the hash was like a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who, a can of who hash, if you will.
I don't know if you watched Saturday Night Live over the weekend, but Pete Davidson was in a sketch with Kristen Wiig. Did you watch it?
Yes. Yes.
Where they have had a threesome with the Grinch. And I am not a Pete Davidson fan. I don't know if anyone is. Is anyone a Pete Davidson fan?
I think Maya is a big fan of Pete Davidson.
Well, she's trying to date him, maybe? Is that what's happening? He has a certain sway over like 20-something women.
Yes.
Yeah. 20-year-old women. I don't mean over like literally 20 women. Okay. Other than the ladies who want to date him, I have never found him particularly funny. I find him very annoying. And I just think it's weird that for all the amazing stars that famously got fired from Saturday Night Live, he is somehow keeping his job. I just find the whole thing bizarre. He was like really good as the Grinch. He was like oozing creepy charisma. I was like, wow, I like, you know, I'm into this. Call me.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. I liked it a lot. It's pretty funny. The kids' faces. They're like, what's going on?
The whole thing. I was into it. All right. So that is Christmas. Do you guys have any New Year's plan? Am I spoiling our future episode by asking if you're doing anything for New Year's?
No, we usually have a party, but obviously not this year.
Please don't have like a secret party and then it gets all over the internet and then you're shamed.
Yeah, no, not happening.
That's too bad. I feel like New Year's parties, I have had some really fun New Year's. And then I hit a point where I was like, I hate the pressure of like having to have plans. But there's just something about like being with a bunch of people on New Year's where you're like, you have to stay up that late. You're supposed to be out together. I remember with my college roommate, we went to the Embarcadero in San Francisco for New Year's one year. And it was like, ooh, everyone was behaving so badly. People were just like making out with each other when they shouldn't have been.
Yeah, man.
There was a lot of shenanigans, but it was just like, you know, obviously way, 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 way pre-COVID. But I look back on it now and I'm like, ew, we were all just like bodies together in public, like smushed together in San Francisco. But I feel like it's just like a very happy occasion. You know, there's not, I don't think like a ton of like emotional sadness or family stories or, you know, it's not like Christmas. It's not like Thanksgiving.
Right. And I think especially this year, people are so looking forward for 2020 to be over, they're just like, please come faster, 2021.
We should do some sort of like telethon where you and I just broadcast.
Yeah.
Although we started doing East Coast New Year's, aka celebrate at 9 o'clock and then go to bed.
Hell yeah.
And I'm sorry, really. But like that is the sweet milk of success to be able to just be awake and then be asleep. I sound like a lot of fun, don't I?
No, it's brilliant.
Like, I'd rather be asleep. Marie, did you have anything on your Christmas list this year?
Not really, no. I mean, Harry asked, and I'm always like, stuff that I need, like makeup and like specific things that I buy for myself anyway, that I'm like, yeah, makeup, sunscreen, all my like toiletry type products.
More practical gifts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my brother always teases me that I'll ask for socks and then I'll send him a link to the socks. And it's like super practical and he doesn't have to search for it. Although I do something very annoying, which is I can't think of anything a month ahead of time. And then like this week, I'm like, oh, you know what I really love? I really love that book that I saw. And I start asking for things the week of. I'm a criminal that way. It's very annoying. I annoy myself.
You can see if they can pull it off.
Well, in years past, you know, they could. You could just bop down onto Barnes & Noble and pick up that book.
True.
And I feel like I really shot myself in the foot this year by not being more purposeful and proactive. So that was my bad. I deserve it. I deserve nothing. I deserve no socks.
No socks.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Barefoot. Barefoot.
Barefoot. And the world spins on. Do you want to talk about what is going on in the world?
Yeah. There, I've a follow-up from last episode. So the Cleveland Indians have decided to change their name. Yay.
I am no so news. Thrilled. I feel like we caused yes. that. No, I can't take credit right? for that. That's years of the struggle. But I feel like we exactly. we might have just been that straw, just talking shit about them, subtweeting them on our podcast. And they were like, you know,
pushed
what?
Them over. Now's the time. Yeah, there's no news on what the name will be yet. The baseball club retired the racist cartoon mascot Chief Wahoo in 2019. Officials of the team said, we have decided to move forward with changing the current team name and determining a new non-Native American-based name for the franchise.
What I thought was so cool about that, them specifying that, is that I guess Wahoo is a tribe name. And so the original inspiration came, just imagine like the Florida Seminoles, you know, the Florida state has permission from the Seminole Indian tribe to use that name. But what was so obvious about the mascot is that it was this horrible caricature. And then there's this culture that grows around it of, you know, the stupid, like the Braves have like the hand chop sign, you know, there's a lot of stuff that right. kind of flowers out of that, that is really ugly and toxic. And so I thought what was really cool was them saying, hey, it's going to be non-native based. To me was them really listening to what the problem was and not trying to slap a patch on it. They're like, yeah, we get it. We're not going to be part of that anymore.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Way to go.
That is good.
Hey, Anne, did you catch any of the Jupiter and Saturn rare conjunction last
conjunction,
night?
Junction. What's your function? We saw it. It was up in the sky so bright.
those brighter stars.
Those two guys up there. Yeah, it was funny. I went with my sister and my niece. We drove up to the spot in Ojai that's like a lookout point. We had actually been there. I should have looked on when this was, but for the comet, when the comet was passing through, was that the summer?
Oh, yeah.
So it was really funny to like be back there. And we were joking that it just feels like we're like waiting on the apocalypse. Like we just keep going to like some high point and like watching the sky with a bunch of other people. So it was cool. I don't know if you saw it, but it was also, I think it was the Leonids meteor shower. So right as we were getting ready to leave, it had been dark for a little while. They said it was going to be most visible about an hour after the sunset. I turned to my sister and my niece. I was like, okay, before we leave, let's just each, you know, silently make a wish on the star for next year.
Aww.
And we all turn and we looked up at it. And just then the brightest shooting star shot across the sky and it was like really long.
Oh my God.
And we were all like, oh my God. So that was kind of the highlight. You know, it wasn't even the conjunction,
yes.
It was the meteor shower.
Very cool.
How about you?
Yes, we Harry has a telescope, but got it out thinking we're gonna be the coolest people, and he like couldn't figure out how to calibrate it. So he's like watching YouTube videos all day trying to fix it. We did get to see it, you know, a little bit closer, but it wasn't as clear.
Did you see the rings of Saturn?
Blurry. We couldn't see the rings. It was just more like a blurry, bright, blurry vision. But looking at pictures of people who really got a clear picture, yeah, the rings of Saturn were so cool.
You just almost can't believe that we can see that stuff. I get really overwhelmed by astronomy. Like if I think about it a little bit, I'm like, oh, cool. And then the longer I think about it, I'm like, how in the world are you looking through two pieces of glass that are ground to a certain thickness and a certain, you know,
right.
bend that allow you to see the fucking rings of Saturn? You know, it's just like,
yeah.
It gets very meaningful very quickly.
Exactly.
I love it. That's exciting. Something to look forward to in another 700 years. So we can just look forward to chatting about that then.
I love it.
I love it. What else is going on in your world? Give me some new news. Is Maya coming home for Christmas? Is she home?
She gets in tonight, late tonight. She's flying into Santa Barbara.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
That's exciting. You'll have to give her a big hug for me, please.
Yeah. I will.
Does she get to be home for a good amount of time?
She's here until Sunday, so she'll go back. She got a new job.
Oh, my God! Will you share what she's doing? I don't know what your privacy level is with her on the pod.
Yeah. She is working for Child Protective Services.
Oh, my gosh. Maya.
Yeah. Very intense, but this is what she's wanted to, the field she wanted to go into. So yeah, I'm excited for her, but I'm also nervous.
I am so proud of her. Excited. She is just a deeply good human being.
She really is.
But that's just also so grown up. It's like really hard because I feel like I haven't gotten to be with her in person all that often, but it's like, I remember going to that, event that they had in the gym at St. Bonnie, so it would have been when she was a senior, and I'm like, I'm sorry, who is working for Child Protective Services? Certainly not this high school senior that I saw most recently,
right?
But I don't know, that's probably what it's like to be a parent. You just like constantly can't believe that they are adults.
Yeah, seriously, it's crazy, but I'm very, very proud.
Amazing. She's an angel on earth, and you guys are like, I thought that the two of you were mini me, and then you sent me that photo of Lola, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, everyone's like, what's it like to have a clone? I'm like, oh yeah.
Is it weird? I mean, I don't know if it's like possible for you to answer that question, but like, what is it like to look at a child who looks like you were as a child?
Yeah, I wrote a joke once that she's obviously my favorite because who's not going to love a mini version of themselves the most?
I love it. It was actually, it's funny that you're saying that because when my niece was born, she looked a lot like my sister when my sister was an infant, but my sister is older than me. I never saw my sister as an infant, you know, only in photos.
Oh, sure.
And I would hold my niece and I would look at her face and I would just trip out that like, here I am like holding infant sister, you know, it's like it's weird. I don't know if people ever get used to it. I guess that's just like you said, that's evolution, that's biology, that's the perpetuation of the species. Yeah, I'm like, you have all girls. I wonder how Harry feels about it. There's no Harry DNA in any of those children.
Right, everyone's like, what? Well, Piper looks like Maya and Lola looks like you. Like,
you're like, yep. Sorry, bro.
Strong genes. Strong.
You gotta win. It's the survival of the strongest.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like that's like a good loop back to our apocalypse, but maybe it's not an apocalypse. Maybe it's just dystopia. You know, it's like the world doesn't end. It just gets really bad for a while. I don't know. Can you tell I've been reading too much of The Economist? They're doing all these... I subscribe to The Economist magazine, which is great, but it's very dense and it's a weekly magazine. So when I decided to re-up on it, because I used to get it a few years ago, but then I would end up with this really tall stack and it would really stress me out because that's like, you know, textbooks worth of reading that I was behind on. But then it's also kind of stupid because it's weekly, it's all news. And so you would try to go back and read old issues and then it would be like, you know, Congress is expected to pass, you know, and it's like it had passed 4 months ago or something stupid. But so now we're doing all this like digital edition, digital issue, email, podcast, and so they're trying to diversify all their different touch points. But I'm like, no, I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to read it on email. I want to pick up the magazine, flip through it as fast as I fucking can, and then throw it in the trash. I feel like they're sort of creeping up on me, but I feel like the like models of media have either changed or not changed. I don't know. You had said you saw an article about like the death of local news.
Yeah. Citing a New York Times article, at least 60 local newsrooms have closed since March. Yeah, some of them are more than a century old, leaving communities without any independent information about local government, schools, and businesses. A recent New York Times investigation found that some partisan groups had begun posing as local publishers, trying to pass off political propaganda as news, which is scary. Other consequences include decline in voter turnout and cross-party voting, while political corruption and government waste seem to rise without these organizations. Democracy continues to be threatened with the idea of, quote, fake news and misinformation through online outlets, which is so easy to spread online. And without independent local organizations, the threat continues. Experts are pointing to a nonprofit model, which can be tough because you're relying on donations and grants all the time. But folks are hoping that we can look to look at journalism through the same lens as the arts or higher education or religious organizations and open up our wallets. So how can we help? There's an organization called News Match, which matches donations to local publications, or you can donate to your local public radio.
Oh my affiliate. God, this is so interesting. I had a friend who was a journalist for the Ventura County Star, which I would count as local news. And this was like 10 years ago. He really saw the writing on the wall, and a lot of his colleagues were leaving for, you know, jobs in public relations at private sector companies, or, you know, like trying to finally write that novel or stuff like that. You know, what I think is interesting, Marie, and I don't know if you'll indulge me in like challenging this a little bit, is like, I don't read the local news because it's all bad news and it's all like stuff that I don't feel is consequential. So it's a lot of like, you know, pedestrian hit in crosswalk, local home vandalized, just stuff that for me,
right.
I find both very upsetting. I'll be, you know, honest about that, which is why I primarily don't consume it. But also just sort of like, for me, it kind of, that isn't news. News is the United Nations developed a, you know, new policy to combat childhood hunger. Like, to me, that's what I want to know about, is like, what is going to like affect us versus reporting on, you know, one-off incidents that are upsetting or stuff like that. So I don't know if you have a different relationship, but I'm definitely alone in my family in that I don't read the newspaper. I don't read the local news. I don't watch the local news on TV. And so it's hard to hear you describe it, because I think the role of journalism is as important as ever. But I don't know what that looks like. I don't have an answer for that. That was the first.
I didn't hear that.
Okay, so I'm out of control. I'm an old lady who likes to go to bed early and burn social
No, I feel like you're right. In that I don't follow the Ventura Star or any of that, like, unless I'm looking for something specific, like, oh, I smelled fire like in the air. I was wondering, where was that coming from? Is there a fire in the area or what's happening like that? Or I feel like, especially with the elections this year, like, local elections, like the newspapers reporting on that kind of stuff. But I'll only pay attention if, there's something I really want to know about. But I don't.
Those were two perfect examples of how local news can be meaningful. So I appreciate you indulging me on that, because it's like, philosophically, I want to be like, journalism. And then I'm like, no, I'm sorry. Like, Ventura County Star these days is like syndicated content from Gannett, aka USA Today. You know, it's like there's so much that that isn't useful. But those two examples, I think, were absolutely perfect. Not that it was a test, but I appreciate that. Yeah, I feel like just, you know, so much is changing. And I'm sure you saw the Wall Street Journal op-ed that came out about how Dr. Jill Biden shouldn't use the term doctor. And what's funny to me when you were talking about like the fake news outlet, is that we are going from having a first lady who was a nude model. I have seen Melania Trump's breasts, and not because I was trying to. There are photos of her that she posed for where she is naked, and, you know, good for fucking her. But also, it's like, what is this, like, warped lens that we're experiencing in the American narrative where a man gets ink in a tier one publication like the Wall Street Journal, where he gets to denigrate the accomplishments of a woman who earned a PhD, and we're not running Melania out of the room when she tries to tell us what to do. You know, it's like, it's just, it just feels like we're in this weird, like, alternate universe. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. What's going on?
Well, I also feel like you, we were talking the other day, you were talking about the women's national soccer team.
Yes, they settled a lawsuit that they filed against their employer last year, resolving the World Cup champion's claim on unequal working conditions. The agreement does not resolve the women's unequal pay claim, which is dismissed. Yeah. Which was dismissed earlier this year when a judge ruled that the players had insufficient evidence to bring the key component of their lawsuit to trial. The team plans to appeal that ruling. So one happy part of that whole lawsuit that they'll get the same working conditions, which included, like, you know, better airplanes to travel around the world. You know, I guess the men were getting these, like, really fancy, like, private jets and all kinds of things. It's just like,
that's so funny. I'm gonna have to find, I think it was a podcast, oh man, it's like this weird little memory I have of a story of two WNBA players. I think it was Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi, who, I don't know if you remember her, she went to UConn and was like, she's like the LeBron of college basketball, at least. Obviously, she's a super impactful player in the WNBA also, but at the time was just like the best college player that, you know, ever lived. I think she's kind of our age is why I might remember that. And there is this podcast with them about how they were playing professional basketball in Russia for this, like, oligarch who was paying them well and putting them up well, and they were saying it was such a stark contrast to what the conditions were like as a WNBA athlete, where they were, like, you know, flying, you know, Southwest Airlines and hotel rooms and just, like, really crazy conditions that you wouldn't understand professional athletes experience. And so, like, with the women's team for soccer, you know, they're more winning than the men's team. They had won more World Cups in recent history. You know, it's like the numbers really show that they were a more valuable franchise. And I remember even then, like, reading comments that people were saying, and it was like, it was just the fucking craziest shit that people were talking about the women's team, of, like, you know, trying to come up with reasons why they didn't deserve to be paid for equal work. And it just blows my mind that we're still having these conversations. It's just bizarre.
I don't get it. So hopefully they get to appeal that other ruling about equal pay, and the real world.
Well, I feel like, I don't know if you've had this experience recently, but I opened the news, my Google News, for you, it would be Tuesday, Google News, news.google.com. The other day, and they had announced President-elect Biden's pick for Interior Secretary is a Native woman who's a congressional representative from New Mexico. And Marie, I had two waves of feeling, which was, oh my God, that's so cool. Good for her. Her name is Deb Haaland. That is really rad. And then I had a secondary wave of emotion of, like, this is the first time that I've opened Google News since the election, and seeing political information that gave me true joy. That I just was like, good for him,
yay,
good for her, good for us. Like, this is going to be restorative, hopefully, you know, this is going to, yes, be meaningful. And I feel this is like a small example, but I don't know if you saw the Ben and Jerry's announcement with Colin Kaepernick. Do you want to tell the,
yes,
folks what it was?
I did. So the ice cream brand is continuing their fight against systemic oppression through a new partnership with social activist Colin Kaepernick. I know, I love how he's a social activist now, and he's not a former NFL
uber athlete player. Badass social activist Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, love it. He was honored, I think this is a couple weeks ago now, with a new vegan flavor, because he's vegan, called Change the World, spelled W-H-I-R-L-E-D. It's kind of cute. It celebrates Kaepernick and his efforts to lift up and educate Black and brown communities about their rights. A portion of the proceeds for each pint will go towards Colin Kaepernick's Know Your Rights Camp Foundation.
That's,
which is
awesome.
Cool.
I love Ben and Jerry's. I don't eat ice cream that often, but when I do, I totally buy them because of their activism. And also, it's fucking delicious.
Yeah.
It's good shit.
It's good.
Good job.
Good stuff.
Good.
And I feel like when you're eating the tiny pint, you're like, I'm only eating the, I didn't eat a whole tub of ice cream. It's a tiny little pint.
Also, at like, what is it, like $6 a pint? I can be like, oh, don't have too much. Don't be wasteful.
Oh, yeah. Don't be wasteful. That shit's expensive.
Worth it. But also, don't eat too much because it's expensive. Yeah, I'm excited about that. I also just feel like I really hope, and I said this after the election, that we are moving into a time of deeper civic engagement. And I really feel like the stimulus raised a lot of people's awareness because of the debate over how much money people would be receiving. And I feel like people are kind of paying attention to the legislative process in a way that maybe they haven't before, where we're kind of looking at, okay, well, what is the money and the stimulus going toward? Is it PPP? Is it, you know, arts funding? Is it cash to people? And if so, how much? And is it unemployment benefits and things like that? So I'm just, I don't know. I would love to see this,
yeah,
become, especially with social media, I feel like things are just so much more visible and so much more transparent than they used to be. That we are getting real-time information, we're getting it directly from the legislators, we're hearing people's point of view, we're getting details and nuances that, you know, I think in the past we'd be like, well, you voted against that bill, and the politician has to be like, okay, but that bill was called this, but it was actually about that, and they're having to kind of explain it retrospectively, and now we're kind of living,
right,
this like real-time legislative process, real-time judiciary process, where I feel like this next generation that's coming into adulthood and votership is just going to have a totally different relationship with the quote unquote systems of power, because they're going to feel like they're more accessible. I don't know if that's true, or we're going to get hit by a meteor and we're all going to die. Either or.
Either one, you know. I feel like you're right. I feel like AOC has a really good, you know, hold on that, sort of bringing it to the people through social media, through yeah, just being out there talking in the press, and people really look to her and respect her, and she can explain it in terms that people really understand, and, you know, not a bunch of jargon.
She is honestly
jargon.
A fucking badass. I have watched a couple of her clips recently. I'm sure, yeah, you saw the one where I don't even know what she was making. Was, you know, purportedly cooking something. I've only seen parts of the clip where she wasn't cooking anything. I think she was like, I don't know, making like a mojito or something. And it's the part where she's like, shout out to my fellow radicals. If that makes me radical, if wanting to make sure that people have health care makes me radical, fine, I'm a radical. And I just like always get so fired,
yeah,
up when I hear her talk, because she comes from this just profound position of knowledge and education and awareness. She's not just like talking out of her ass. I'm like, girl, go ahead,
right,
girl,
right.
Go ahead, AOC. Yeah, I love her. I really love her. I'm a fan.
She's great.
Marie, what else? Do you have any other good news you want to share with us to wrap up this very special Christmas episode?
I do. This is kind of fun. The International Olympic Committee has announced breakdancing will be included in the 2024
Games. Are you being serious?
Yes. The head of the World Dance Sport Federation called the announcement quote historic, not only for b-boys and b-girls but for all the dancers around the world. Breakdancing will join skateboarding, sport climbing, and surfing, three events that were supposed to debut this year in Tokyo that will debut.
Okay, so are you saying that they were supposed to happen, didn't happen, and aren't going to happen until 2024? I'm not fact checking you.
Maybe skateboarding, sport climbing, and surfing will debut in the next year, because we're postponed.
Okay, so Tokyo is postponed. Correct? This is kind of fun. It's supposed to be called Tokyo 2020. It is postponed allegedly until this next summer, but they're still calling it Tokyo 2020. My guess is because they already had all the merch printed.
Of course. Yeah.
But also, you know, they probably don't want to fuck it up. You know how that goes. If you get off on your counting, how do you recover? So do you think that you and I have time to train as breakdancers and qualify for 2024? Okay, good.
Yeah, I think we can do it.
Something to look forward to. Well, I wish you a very Merry Christmas, and hopefully we'll do a New Year's episode. So I'm not going to wish you a Happy New Year yet. That is my sway over you.
Okay.
But I just, you know, I love you a lot, and I'm so grateful for you. And that is, my gift to myself that I didn't have to send on the internet was, getting to record this with you. And I appreciate you.
Yay. Same. I feel
I love
the same
you.
Way. I love you, Anne.
Merry
Thank
Christmas.
You for doing this.
Merry Christmas,
I love you,
everybody.
Merry Christmas.
This has been Garage Atois. Thanks for listening.